Let's read some words tonight from the Old Testament, this time in our service, Leviticus chapter 13. The Old Testament, the book of Leviticus, chapter 13, the third book in the Word of God, Genesis, Exodus, then Leviticus. And we're going to read from chapter 13, verse number 1. And then we'll read some verses towards the end of the chapter as well. So beginning at verse 1 of Leviticus, let's read from chapter 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priests, and the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh. And when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is the plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. If the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in the sight be not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut up him that hath the plague 7 days. And the priest shall look on him the seventh day, and behold, if the plague in his sight be at a stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more. And the priest shall look on him again the seventh day, and behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab. And he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab be spread much abroad in the skin, after that he hath been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. Then going down to verse number 45... of the same chapter, verse number 45. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, Unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he is unclean. He shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be. The garment also that the plague of leprosy is in, whether it be a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it be in the warp or woof of linen or of woolen, whether in a skin or in anything made of skin, and if the plague be greenish or reddish in the garment or in the skin, either in the warp or in the woof or in anything of skin, it is a plague of leprosy. And shall be showed unto the priest, and the priest shall look upon the plague, and shut up it that hath the plague 7 days. And he shall look in the plague the seventh day, if the plague be spread in the garment, either in the warp, or in the woof, or in the skin, or in any work that is made of skin, the plague is a fretting leprosy. It is unclean. He shall therefore burn that garment, whether warp or woof, in woolen or in linen, or anything of skin wherein the plague is, for it is a fretting leprosy, it shall be burnt in the fire. And if the priest shall look, and behold, the plague be not spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof, or in anything of skin, then the priest shall command that they wash the thing wherein the plague is, and he shall shut it up 7 days more. And the priest shall look on the plague after that it is washed, and behold, if the plague have not changed its colour, and if the plague be not spread, it is unclean. Thou shalt burn it in the fire. It is fret inward, whether it be bare within or without. And if the priests look, and behold, the plague be somewhat dark after the washing of it, then he shall rend it out of the garment, or out of the skin, or out of the warp, or out of the woof. And if it appear still in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof or in any thing of skin, it is a spreading plague. Thou shalt burn that wherein the plague is with fire. And the garment, either warp or woof or whatsoever thing of skin it be, which thou shalt wash, if the plague be departed from them, then it shall be washed the second time and shall be clean. This is the law of the plague of leprosy in a garment of woolen or of linen, either in the warp or woof or anything of skins, to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean. And we know that God will bless this perhaps somewhat unfamiliar reading of his word to us tonight for his own sake and for his own glory. Let us turn, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, and just read a few verses together from verse 12 down to verse number 15. Luke chapter 5, verse 12 down to verse number 15. I want to speak tonight for a little while upon the leper who met the Lord. The leper who met the Lord. It's Luke chapter 5, verse number 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show himself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. Great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. We know that the Lord will bless this public reading of his precious and inspired word tonight to all of our hearts for his own sake. Now let us all seek the Lord together briefly and just pray that the word of God will have free course in every heart and life, and that the Savior will be glorified. We thank thee, O God, tonight for thy saving power. We bless thee, O God, that thou hast power to heal and to cleanse from the defilement of sin. O God, we thank thee for such a Savior that touches men and women, meets them at the point of need. O God, we pray that, Lord, our Savior tonight will reach forth his hand and touch people right into the depths of their souls and speak to them and pronounce them clean. Lord, we look to thee, and I pray now for thy help and for thine anointing. Pour out your Spirit, Lord God, upon us. Do us good. And grant, O God, that thy name will be honored and uplifted and glorified, and that the Savior might be exalted. We pray all these things in his precious, worthy name. Amen. I don't think there was any disease in Bible times so much to be feared as that of leprosy. Whenever we read that portion of Scripture in Leviticus, chapter number 13, you will have noticed, perhaps, if you were reading carefully, that leprosy was a disease that brought isolation. Whenever a person was diagnosed as being a leper, immediately they were separated from friends, from family, from their neighbors, from their workmates, and they were just sent out to dwell perhaps in a camp in the wilderness. It brought separation, it brought isolation. The disease of leprosy as well would have brought impairment in a physical level. It caused a lot of pain, it caused a lot of suffering. It resulted in the person that had leprosy being physically impaired and just hindered their mobility and kept them in a place where perhaps they couldn't do the things they once did. It also brought impurity, because the leper was described and declared as being unclean. It perhaps as well, to a greater degree, rendered the person who had the disease insensible. That is to say, they perhaps couldn't even feel the pain and the defilement that leprosy was bringing into their body, because whenever the disease progressed, it killed all of the nerve endings. And a person that was a leper might have looked like a leper, but they might not necessarily have felt like a leper. Leprosy as well was infectious. That is to say, it spread very, very easily. And that was one of the reasons why a person that had contracted the disease was separated from friends and family and loved ones. And as well, leprosy was deemed in a human sense to be incurable. In Bible times, there was no cures for it unless the Lord intervened and unless a miracle of grace took place. The person would live and die as a leper. And the Bible is very, very clear that leprosy is a type of sin. Everything that leprosy speaks about in a physical sense reminds us of what sin is in a spiritual sense. The Word of God in the book of Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 5, the whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the crown of the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up nor mollified with ointment. So in a very real sense, the Bible describes sin as being like unto a disease or sickness. And like leprosy, sin also brings separation. Sin separates man from God, not only in time, but if it's not dealt with, also for all eternity. Sin also debilitates people. It renders a man or a woman or a young person incapable of doing certain things. The sinner cannot walk in fellowship with God. The sinner cannot pray aright. The sinner cannot fulfill God's law. There are certain things that the sinner just cannot do. And sin, like leprosy, it defiles us. It renders us unclean in the sight of God. Sin also numbs the senses. You might be in the meeting tonight and you would not acknowledge that you're a sinner, because if you're honest, you just don't feel like one. You don't feel the weight of your guilt. You don't feel unclean in God's sight. You maybe don't feel troubled about time and about eternity. You maybe never think about what you are in the sight of God. And as far as your sin is tonight, you're desensitized to it. It numbs you and you don't feel perhaps tonight like a sinner. And sin as well is humanly incurable. Now there are many people tonight in our world that are dealing with the consequences of sin. Policemen, prison officers, doctors, social workers, psychologists, politicians, all trying to deal with the consequences of sin. But there's no mortal man, there's no religion, there's no program, and there's no institution that can deal with the very nature of sin itself in the heart of an individual. Sin, like leprosy, is humanly incurable. But here in Luke chapter 5, we have a leper who was cleansed and a leper who was cured. A leper who met the Lord. I just want you to notice three very, very simple things about this leper. The first thing is this, and it's very simple. This leper realized something. The leper here realized something. Now, we're told in verse number 12 that there was a man in a certain city who was full of leprosy. Now, that city, according to one of the other Gospels, was the city of Capernaum. And that was a city that the Lord had signally blessed. That city of Capernaum, perhaps more than any other city in the land of Israel, was a city that had known the presence of Christ and the preaching of Christ and the power of Christ in a level that maybe no other city had known or experienced. It was a city that was greatly beloved and a city that was greatly blessed. And yet the Lord said later on in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse number 15, "Thou, Capernaum, thou art exalted as it were up into heaven, but thou shalt be thrust down to hell." With all of your privileges, with all of the blessings that you've seen and heard about and experienced, you have, as it were, been lifted right up to heaven's gates itself. But because ultimately you've rejected the Messiah, thou shalt be thrust down to hell. And living in that city, there was a certain man who was full of leprosy. And this leper realized something. And like the leper, the sinner needs to realize something as well. In fact, this man realized two things. He realized that he was contaminated, and he also realized that he was condemned. And you need to realize and recognize those two things tonight if you're ever to be brought to saving faith in Jesus Christ. He realized that he was contaminated. Now, it probably started for him in a very simple manner. Maybe getting changed, getting washed, maybe getting up in the morning or going to bed at night. And maybe in his arm somewhere, or in the back of his hand, or on his chest, or on his leg, or on his foot. Somewhere on his body he noticed just a little white spot. That's how simple it was. And as he looked at that little white spot in the back of his mind, he was thinking the worst, but perhaps trying to ignore it and thinking, well, it's just a spot. It'll probably go away. It'll probably not get any worse. It's just a spot. And maybe for a period of time, he went on thinking it's just a spot, trying to convince himself that everything's going to be okay. It's not all that serious. It's just a spot. And it's just something. It's just a little blemish on my body. There's no defilement. There's no decay. I'm not suffering any pain. I still have all of my faculties. Everything seems to be fine. It's just a little spot. Everything's going to be okay. And isn't that just how the world views sin tonight? Lies, covetousness, immorality, adultery, fornication, theft, all of the things that we see in humanity on the surface that are so plain and so evident, the world will say, well, those are just little spots. Those are just little blemishes upon man's character, which otherwise is wholesome and right and good. And probably if we live a little bit longer and we continue to evolve, and if we get our way, we'll be able to deal with all these things, and humanism has the answer. And those little spots and those little blemishes, listen, they'll just go away. It's all fine. They're just little spots in our character. But the spot for this leper didn't go away. Didn't get any smaller. And then maybe his wife began to notice. Maybe his children began to notice. Maybe his parents began to notice. And they said to him, you know what? You'd need to go and get that seen to. So according to Leviticus chapter 13, the Levitical law, the Mosaic law, he goes off and he finds the local priest. And the local priest looks at it and examines it and gets the law of God out and gets the old book out. And looks at what he sees in this man's life, compares it to what God has said, and he says, listen, I fear the worst. I fear that you have got leprosy. And that priest knows in his heart, because he knows the word of God, that that problem that that man has is a lot deeper than it seems to be to that leper. To the leper and to all onlookers, it's just a little spot on the surface, but the priest knows that the problem goes deeper than skin. You see, we're told that whenever a person has leprosy and they begin to see the little spots coming on their skin, that that leprosy has gone deep down into their joints and into their bones and into the very marrow. And the reality is that it's probably been there for years. And all that is happening now, it's beginning to manifest itself on the outside. And all of the spots that we see in society today, all of the things that man knows are there and tries to ignore and tries to cover up, they are just symptoms of a problem that lies much deeper. A problem that has been there for years, right in fact, from almost the very beginning of time itself, whenever Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. It's a problem that goes deeper than skin. It's a heart issue. It's a heart problem. It's deep-seated, and it's deep-rooted. And we know tonight that the author of Luke was Luke, Luke's Gospel, and Luke was a physician. And whenever you study Luke's Gospel, you'll discover that Luke was always interested And people that had problems, and people that were suffering illness, and people that were suffering disease, and he spends a lot more time than Matthew and Mark and John do talking about the symptoms and talking about the problems and talking about the psychological issues that were connected with certain ailments that people had. And therefore, Luke tells us in verse number 12 that this man was full of leprosy. Full of it. In fact, every aspect of this man's life was affected by the disease and the contamination of leprosy. It affected literally the whole man. His hands, his feet, his speech, his appetites, his sight, his thinking. Everything about this man was affected by leprosy. He was full of it. His whole body was contaminated. In fact, there wasn't a part of this man's fiber or being that was not affected by leprosy. He was full of it, literally riddled with this incurable disease. And so it is with the sinner. Whenever theologians and preachers talk about total depravity, what they really mean by that is that every aspect of man is affected by sin and affected by the fall. It does not necessarily mean that any sinner is as vile and sinful as they could possibly be, but what it does mean is that every aspect of man is affected by sin. His soul, his spirit, his body, his mind, his intellect, his will, his emotions, his desires, his actions, his walk, his speech, the things that he wants to look at, the things that he wants to listen to, the things that he wants to talk about, all of it is affected by sin. And this man realized something. He realized, I'm contaminated. Through and through, I'm full of it. And then as he realized that, he realized something even more serious. He realized, I am condemned. Because Leviticus chapter 13, verses 7 and 8 say, whenever the priest looks at the leper and he sends him away for 7 days and he comes back 7 days later and he looks at the skin, he discovers that the leprosy is beginning to spread. And I'm sure, like any other leper, whenever this man discovered that he's contaminated, he tries to cover it up. Maybe with the finest of apparel, the best clothing that money can buy. He covers up his feet. He covers up his body, maybe with a beautiful robe. He covers up his hands. He maybe covers up his head. And he tries to cover as much of his body as he possibly can. But the leprosy is still there. And it's getting worse, and it's getting worse, and it's getting worse. And underneath the exterior, and underneath the garb of fine clothing and a fine appearance underneath it all, the leprosy is festering and the leprosy is getting worse. And again tonight we look at our world and we look at our society. And people can tell us that man is getting better. And we're finding cures for this disease and that disease. And for this social ill and for that social ill. And laws are being passed and things are happening. And everybody's trying to tell us that we've got a handle on the thing. And we can try to cover it up. But underneath it all, it's there. It's real. It's not getting better. It's festering. And so can the individual do exactly the same. We discover that we're sinners. We discover that there's something wrong. We compare our lives to the Word of God, to the standards of the Ten Commandments, to the standards of the Sermon on the Mount, and we discover I'm wrong. And I think thoughts that are unclean. And I have done things in my past that I'm ashamed of. And underneath it all, I know that there's something that's not right, but you know something? I'll be able to cover it up with a little bit of religion. I'll be able to cover it up with going to a certain church, embracing a certain creed, going through a certain ritual, performing certain good works. If I pray more, if I read the Bible, if I join a church, if I sit at the Lord's table, if I give more money to charity, if I try to help people and just try to be a better person, surely that will cover it all up and God will see all the good things about me and God will overlook my sin. That is not what the Word of God teaches. The Bible says, their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. See, friends, tonight, according to the Word of God, in reality, the leper was essentially viewed as a dead man. Numbers chapter 12 and verse number 2, or 12, speaking of the leper, it says, "Let her not be as one dead of whom the flesh is half consumed." So whenever a person contracted leprosy, it was literally like having a death sentence upon them. And the leper here knows, essentially, this disease is going to be the end of me. It's going to take me to the grave. I'm going to be finished. And the leper was viewed as a dead man. And so it is with the sinner. Concerning man that is born of woman, the word of God is abundantly clear that there's no spiritual life within us. There's no inner light. There's no spark of goodness. The Bible says that we are all as an unclean thing. The word of God declares that we are dead in trespasses and in sins. In fact, Paul, writing to the young servant of God, Timothy, in 1 Timothy 5, 6, says, "She that liveth in pleasure is dead even while she liveth." And you get the young person tonight that thinks, "I'm full of life. I'm living life to the full. I'm enjoying myself. I'm not under any authority. I'm my own boss. I'm the own captain of my own destiny, and nobody's going to tell me how to live, and I'm enjoying my life. Let me alone." The word of God says, even if we live like that, we're dead. Even while we live in the pleasures of this world. And this man realized that he was condemned. He was on a death sentence, and the word of God tells us that sin will condemn us. In fact, Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, who was religious, who was respectable, who was a church-going man, who said his prayers, who did well in life, who was rich and respectable and religious and all these different things, the Lord says, "He that believeth not is condemned already." He says, "Nicodemus, it's not that you're going to be condemned. The fact of the matter is, Nicodemus, you are condemned." Just as the leper was pronounced unclean, so the sinner in the sight of God, if they're not forgiven, is pronounced unclean. And the word of God is very clear as well that even the very leper's garments are defiled and shall be burned in the fire. Do you remember whenever Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord and they tried to cover themselves with the leaves, fig leaves and all of the different things, and they took the leaves and they made themselves garments, and those garments just withered and became defiled because they were dead. And it says that the garments of the leper shall be burned in the fire. And friends, tonight in this service, I say it reverently, and I say it with humility of heart, and I say it sincerely, that the word of God teaches plainly that there is such a place as hell. And the sinner that's not cleansed, and the sinner that's not saved, and the sinner that's not washed, and the sinners that's not changed, the word of God is abundantly clear that if they miss God's salvation, if you get it wrong in this one, you're lost in hell forever. And just as the leper was separated and isolated, so will you be separated and isolated from God and isolated from grace. You think about this leper being cut off from his family, and all of the psychological problems that that would bring. He's contracted leprosy. He's cut off from his wife. He's cut off from his parents. He's cut off from his children. Nobody's going to look at him now. Nobody's going to touch him. And he's completely isolated. And so it's not just a physical problem. It's a psychological problem. And it's a spiritual problem. And this man that we read about in Luke chapter 5, he realized something. But then there came a day in his life whenever everything would change, and it says he, seeing Jesus, fell on his face. You see, not only did he realize something, but he reverenced someone. He realized something. And then one day a man came and he knew this is the Lord, this is the Messiah, this is the Christ, this is the one that they're all talking about. And he came before the Lord and he fell before him. I love those words, "who seeing Jesus." The Bible says, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." And here's a man that beheld the Lamb of God. And what does he do when he beholds the Lamb of God? Does he run away? Does he ignore him? Does he say some other time? No, he falls before him. And you'll notice there that he came with godly fear. He came before the Lord with godly fear. He saw the Lord Jesus. And then he came to the Lord Jesus. And you need to see the Lord tonight. But it's not just enough to see him high and lifted up upon a cross. You need to come to him. And this man saw the Lord, and he came to the Lord, and he came with godly fear, because the word of God says he fell upon his face. And I would submit to you tonight, friends, in this meeting, that this godly reverence and this godly fear, largely speaking, has departed from our society. Whenever people hear or use the name of Jesus nowadays, oftentimes it's as a swear word. And the fear of God has departed. And the fear of God has gone. Somebody from church was telling us that they were reading in the Daily Mail during the week that people in England were saying that by the year 2041, religion in England and in the United Kingdom as a whole will be a thing of the past. And fear of God has gone. That's why people can say nowadays that there is no God. Because long before they were saying that there was no God, the fear of God had gone. And this man comes, and he comes with a godly fear. You know why he did that? Because he knew who Christ was. He says, Lord. And I want to tell you folks tonight, Jesus Christ is Lord. Creation's voice proclaims it. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And this man knew that Jesus Christ was Lord. I know who this man is. And whenever he knew who the Lord was, he fell on his face before him. And you know something else that caused him to come with godly fear? Not only did the leper know who the Lord was, but the leper knew who he was. I am unclean. I'm a leper. I'm defiled. I'm condemned. I'm a sinner. And this is the Lord. And he came before him with godly fear. And he just fell on his face before the Lord. And friends, that's where salvation begins. Whenever a man realizes something, and whenever a man recognizes and reverences someone, that's the beginning of God's salvation. He came not only with godly fear, but he also came with great faith. And that's a wonderful thing. He sought the Lord earnestly. It says there, he came, seeing Jesus fell on his face, and besought him. That is to say, he pleaded and sought with the Lord earnestly. He pleaded with the Lord. He besought the Lord. And friend, if you're ever going to be saved, you need to do exactly the same thing. You need to seek the Lord earnestly. You need to give yourself to calling upon the name of the Lord. Because the Son of God says, and the Word of God says, and the Gospel says, that we are to seek first the kingdom of God. Other things can wait. Jeremiah the prophet said under God, ye shall seek me and shall find me whenever you search for me with all of your heart. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord and to your God, and he will have mercy and will abundantly pardon. The Son of God said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. And I wonder, have you ever earnestly sought the Lord? Has there been a time in your life whenever you've called upon the Lord and you said, Lord, would you save me? Would you have mercy on this life and in this soul of mine? Lord, would you cleanse away my sin? Lord, would you make me clean? Have you ever come before the Lord with godly fear and with that measure of faith? He sought the Lord earnestly. You'll notice as well, he sought the Lord submissively. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. In other words, he's coming before the Lord. He's saying, Lord, whatever your will is, I'm willing to submit to it. If thou wilt. If thou wilt. He realizes, you see, that he's got no claims and no merits and no credentials before the Son of God. He doesn't bring anything to try and bribe or bend the arm of the Son of God into healing him. He just comes before the Lord and says, in a sense, Lord, this is how it is. I'm a leper. I'm unclean. I'm cut off from God and from grace and from my family. And I've got absolutely nothing to give you apart from my uncleanness. Apart from this life, I can't give you anything. I've got no merit. I've got no credit in heaven. I've got nothing to claim before you as being righteous in and of myself. And he comes before the Lord submissively, earnestly. But you'll notice as well, he comes before the Lord believingly. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. In other words, Lord, if you're willing to cleanse me, Lord, you can. And he believed that the Lord could make him clean. I wonder tonight, do you believe that? Do you believe tonight that if you were to come to the Lord in simple childlike faith and you were to trust him, do you believe tonight that he could save you? Well, if you believe that, then believe it. If you believe that he can come, then believe on him, trust him. Ask him to do it, then believe. This man realized something. This man reverenced someone, but this man also received something. He received grace. Look at verse number 13. It says, the Lord put forth his hand. And in the Lord putting forth his hand, he was giving to this leper something. He was giving to him grace. What is grace? Grace is God's unmerited favor. Grace is whenever we receive something from the hand of the Lord that we haven't earned and that we don't deserve. And the Lord in grace reaches down to this man and gives him something. And he received something. He received grace. And that grace, I believe, was manifested in three different areas. He received compassion. He put forth his hand and touched him. Now this man was a leper. And if the truth be told tonight, nobody had touched this man for years. We say sometimes in this country of ours, I wouldn't touch that thing with a barge pole. And that's how people looked at the leper. They wouldn't touch him with a barge pole. Not even his family would touch him. It was years since he'd received a warm embrace, a handshake, a kiss, a hug, whatever it was. And now he comes before the Lord, and the Lord reaches out his hand, and the Lord touched him. You know, people just didn't touch lepers. It just wasn't something that was the done thing. But you know, the Lord touched him. And I can say tonight that the Lord has touched me. And many tonight in our service can say that the Lord has touched them. And I wonder, can you say, the Lord has touched me? Christ can touch you tonight. Touch your life. Such love. That we have a Savior tonight that can love the unlovable. Who can touch the untouchable. Who can reach the unreachable. Who can save the unsavable. He touches men and women. He touched this life of mine. The Bible, in fact, says he is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. And you know the wonderful thing in the Lord touching this leper? The Lord wasn't defiled in touching the leper, but the leper was cleansed by being touched by the Lord. You see, the Lord was sinless. The Lord walked among sinners, but he never became a sinner himself. The Lord touched that which was unclean, but inwardly the Lord was never unclean. Even whenever our sin was placed upon his body upon the cross, and he became a sin offering for us. He did not become sinful, and he did not become a sinner. All the while he was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This man received compassion. And I'm glad tonight that I can present to you, men and women, young people in this meeting, a Savior that is full of compassion, who loves you, who can show you mercy and grace and kindness. And with receiving compassion, this man received cleansing. You see, the Lord not only touched him, But the Lord spoke to him. He came to the Lord and says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And as the Lord reached out his hand, it was as if the Lord was saying, well, yes, I can. And then whenever the Lord spoke, he said, I will. The Lord is able and the Lord is willing. I will be thy clean. The authority of Christ's word. You know, in that little phrase, be thou clean, we have the whole doctrine of justification. Whenever God declares a sinner as being forgiven, God declares a sinner as being righteous, God accepts him as being righteous, and it's all on the basis of what Christ has done, his touch, and also of what Christ has said. Why am I saved tonight? How do I know that I'm saved? Because I feel like it, not all the time. There are times I struggle with assurance, like a lot of people do. But whenever I come back and I look at the finished work, and I think about the touch of God's hand in my life, and then I meditate upon the finished word, I know tonight that I'm saved, because the word of God declares, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And it says, whenever he said, be clean, immediately the leprosy departed from him. It wasn't a process. The Lord didn't say, well, now you're going to have to do this, that thing, and the other, and it'll be a process, and maybe after a long, long, long period of time, you'll begin to feel a little bit better. No, immediately the leper was made clean. This was one of the great things that occurred during the revivals in England and America under George Whitefield and John Wesley, because they unearthed a truth that hadn't been preached for years. That a person can be born again, converted, saved, instantaneously, and in a moment of time. They both experienced it for themselves, and then they began to declare it, and they preached the truth of God's word. Ye must be born again. And it can happen, friend, in a moment. It can happen in an instant of time. Immediately, instantaneously, right now, in this very service, at this very moment, you can pass from nature's darkness into God's marvelous light. And a lifetime of sinning can be washed away, cleansed away, forgiven, changed, translated, converted. In a moment of time, you can be wonderfully saved and wonderfully cleansed. You see, tonight there's cleansing and there's healing for all who will wash in the life-giving flood. There's perfect deliverance and joy to be had in this world through the blood. You know, years ago, whenever Whitefield was a preacher, he said on one occasion, Christ will take even the devil's castaways. And the lady that supported the work of George Whitefield and John Wesley, Lady Huntingdon, who was a saved woman, she was very wealthy, she supported them, she encouraged them, she did everything that she could, she financed a lot of their work. Whenever she heard George Whitefield make that statement, Christ will take even the devil's castaways, she was annoyed, she was angry, she spoke to him and says, well, that's very irreverent what you said. That's cheapening the gospel. Saying that the Lord's interested in the devil's leftovers. Whitefield says, well, I'll take to heart what you said. And he went away and he thought about it. And he thought about it, and he thought about a man that had got converted under his ministry. And he went and spoke to that man and says, will you go and tell Mrs. Huntingdon your story? And this man went to Lady Huntingdon and he began to tell her about the life that he'd led. He says, I was a drunkard. I was a blasphemer. My life was wrecked. My home was wrecked. My marriage was wrecked. My family was wrecked. All because of my sin. And I purposed one morning that I would rise from my bed and I would go to the River Thames and I would end it all. And I would risk eternity in God's hell rather than live in the misery of sin in this life. And he says, as I got to the river's bank and I began to wade out into the icy waters of the River Thames, early in the morning at first light, I could hear a few miles away the preaching of George Whitefield in Moorfields. They say that whenever Whitefield preached, his voice carried for 3, maybe up to 4 miles. And I didn't hear everything that Whitefield was saying as he preached at that early hour of the morning and crowds of people flocked to hear him. But he says, Mrs. Huntingdon, I heard him say this, Christ will take even the devil's castaways. And with that, the light of the gospel dawned upon my soul. And I trusted the Lord, and my life has changed. And Mrs. Huntington just began to weep as she heard that story. And she contacted Whitfield, and she says, "Mr. Whitfield, you preach now more than you've ever preached before that Christ will take the devil's castaways." And here's a man, and the world has forgotten about him. Society has given up on him. His family are separated from him. He's lost. He's lonely. Nobody cares about him. Nobody wants to look at him. Nobody wants to touch him. Nobody wants to embrace him. But the Lord touched him. And he received compassion. He received cleansing. But you notice as well, and we're almost finished, verse number 14, he received a commandment. And it was a strange commandment. Because the Lord charged him to tell no man. Don't be telling anybody what I've done for you. Now, I'm persuaded tonight that that commandment was only temporary. And I believe it for this reason. He says, "Go, show thyself to the priest, offer for thy cleansing according as Moses has commanded for a testimony unto them." And then once you've gone to the priest, and the priest sees that you're clean, then you can go and tell as many people as you like. You see, because for this period of his ministry, the Mosaic law was still in force. And according to Leviticus chapter 14, the chapter that we didn't read, whenever a leper felt that they were clean, they had to go back to the priest, and the priest would get the law of God out once again, examine the leper, and come to the conclusion that either he was clean or he wasn't clean. And so the Lord's saying, "Well, listen, we're still under the old economy. And I want you to go to the priest and I want you to show him what's happened, and it'll be a testimony to him that I've pronounced you clean. You are clean, you're a changed man, and that will be a testimony unto the priest." And you know, as that old priest sat there in the temple that day, or the synagogue, or wherever it was, and this leper came in, that priest wouldn't have seen that happening for years, probably in his whole lifetime. 400 silent years, God isn't really speaking, God isn't moving in a great manner, but now the Messiah's come, and a leper comes in that's notorious, and he's been changed, he's been cleansed, he's been turned right around. And what a testimony it was to that priest. And many, many more lepers would come for years to see the priests, and the priests would have to acknowledge that these men are clean. And they would acknowledge this, that what religion could not do, the great Redeemer can do. And I discovered in this life of mine that what religion could not do for me, the blessed Redeemer could. He could deal with my sin, and he could give me a hope and a steadfast peace that endureth. One old colored preacher from a bygone generation, speaking in this very portion of Scripture, said, "You know, it's interesting. He said, the Lord told this leper not to tell anybody. But he went and he told everybody. And he says, now the Lord tells us to tell everybody. And sadly, we tell nobody." We're told in the Word of God that this man blazed it abroad in one of the other's Gospels. He just couldn't keep it in. He just couldn't contain himself. He just had to tell people what the Lord Jesus Christ had done for him. He blazed it abroad. And friend, there's no greater way to spread the gospel than just telling people and showing people by our lives what the Lord has done for us. Sadly, some of us, if we're honest, we're quicker to spread gossip than we are to spread the gospel. But here's a man that met the Master. A sinner that met the Savior. A leper that met the Lord. He saw him. He came to him. He fell down before him. He called upon him. And then he received this wonderful salvation. And tonight I've tried to show you the Savior. But you need to come. And you need to call. And you need to be cleansed. May God bless his word to all of our hearts. This evening, we'll just bow our heads.